On the front of our house is a Chinese maple tree. It's on the far left in the front. If you were driving by, there is a tree out in the front yard. This is up against the house, like on the left side as you would see it. And it's become a little bit, it's a healthy tree, beautiful tree, but a little bit overgrown. And so we had a landscaper, tree trimmer come out, check it out for us to take a look at it. And he's going to come and trim it once the leaves are down. And because that needs to happen for it to stay healthy. He told us that the tree was in really good shape, but for it to stay in good shape, he was going to need to give it a hard pruning. So I'm kind of expecting to look more like a shrub when he's done. I don't know. But he said then it will grow again, and it will probably won't need trimmed for another 5 years after that because it's a slow-growing tree. But to keep it healthy, that's what he needs to do. In order to keep trees that ornament your lawn looking ornamental, keeping them nice, you need to prune them from time to time, right? Otherwise, they become unwieldy and can even begin to become real issues in some cases. Now, we also have two trees in our backyard that are fruit trees. We have an apple tree and a pear tree back there. They are unwieldy in some senses, but they do provide some shade in our yard. The pear tree can go for years and you don't see a pear on it, and then all of a sudden you'll have pears on it. The apple tree, some years there's so many apples that the limbs break. And then other years, like this year, there's hardly any apples on it. And it just kind of runs like that off and on. None of the fruit trees really produce good fruit because we don't treat them with the chemicals that would kill the bugs and that kind of thing. They're really shade trees for us, provide some shade in our backyard, because we don't want to do the chemicals and deal with the rest of it. But just to get the guy's opinion when he was there, when the tree trimmer was there, I asked what he would suggest for those trees. And I told him the apple tree in particular has these long branches that extend way out and they get really heavy with apples. And I said, like, if I were going to trim some things, I'm not sure what I'd cut. I'd cut those long trees that are all, branches off to the side and that kind of thing. And he said, well, the trees aren't really in shape for bearing fruit right now. He said, if you wanted to trim them, what I would do, first of all, is I would take the top right off of that apple tree. And it would not look very pretty at first. But then it would begin to, in the spring, you would see shoots come up and it would grow. And then you'd be able to start bearing fruit on that tree. He says, if you don't want to deal with the fruit and the bees that come with the apples, as I'm sure you're aware of, he says, then I just cut the trees down. He says, but if you want them for shade, I just would leave them alone. So that's what we're doing right now. We're just leaving those two trees alone. We've been talking, friends, about places in Jesus' ministry where he tells us to go. As disciples and followers, he tells his disciples to go. And in this series, it's a series I'm calling Let's Go. And today we're going to look at what Jesus says about going and bearing fruit. And here's the thing, unless you just want to be an unwieldy fruit tree that bears no good fruit, but maybe provides some shade once in a while, pruning is absolutely necessary to bear fruit properly. So before we talk about bearing fruit, going and bearing fruit, we need to talk about the pruning that happens in our lives. The good thing is that Jesus tells us all about this in the passage that leads up to the go verse that we have for today in John chapter 15. He has this discussion that comes before this go statement that we're going to look at on bearing fruit. This is a passage that we've talked about before. In fact, we've talked about it more than once. But it's just one of those essential passages that needs regular revisiting so we understand what actually is happening in our lives. And with that, I'm using a portion of another message that I shared as we talk about pruning. And then we're going to talk about the bearing fruit portion of God's call for us to go. This is a passage of Jesus speaking to his disciples that occurs the night before he's crucified. They've just finished with what we know of as the Last Supper, their last meal together, where Jesus washes their feet. And Jesus says at the end of John chapter 14, verse 31, he says, "Rise, let us go from here." So there's the first go, but let us go from here. Go where? Where are they going? They're leaving the upper room where they had their meal, and they're off walking, and they're going to end up in the Garden of Gethsemane. But before they get there, Jesus is going to share with them So they're walking and talking. And as they walk, they would have walked through Jerusalem, and they probably would have walked past the temple and likely through some vineyards in the garden. Now get this. Somewhere between the upper room and Gethsemane, Jesus gives this discourse, the beginning of the last formal major teaching before his death. And this is what he'll talk to them about on what being a disciple looks like. And he begins in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 by saying, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Other translations say the gardener. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Although already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples." So the first five verses of this section of John give us an outline for pruning to be fruit bearers. They point out five keys to being rooted in the life of the vine and in our lives. And the first key to being rooted into this pruning is this: Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. Understand that the whole vine and branches thing, the vineyard thing, would have really resonated with the people he was talking to, greatly with his disciples. They were around vineyards all the time. And they were perhaps walking through one, like we said, this very night as Jesus was speaking to them. The image of a vineyard was common in their Jewish heritage. And in the Old Testament, over and over again, Israel was pictured as the vine or vineyard of God. The vine had actually become the symbol for the nation of Israel. Kind of like the eagle is the symbol for the United States of America, the vine was the symbol of the nation of Israel. And what does Jesus do here? He says, "I am the true vine." Not Israel. "I am the true vine." He's making a declaration of himself. He's taking the place of Israel in the vineyard metaphor. Men and women would be branched off of Jesus now, not off of the nation of Israel, off of Jesus as the vine who brings true life. Jesus is saying, "I'm the source of life to a relationship with God." He says, "I'm it. There is no other way, no other road. I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus already taught this to them. In the chapter before, in John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. The second key to being rooted to this pruning is this: God the Father is the gardener. The vine dresser is what it says in this translation. Other translations say the gardener. Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener. Some say that a vineyard is the most difficult kind of agricultural pursuit that you can undertake. I wouldn't know personally because I don't have any experience with that. The only time I have a green thumb is when my finger goes too far into the jalapeno salsa dip at Casa Fiesta. That's my only green thumb that I have. But I've read that it takes more constant care in a vineyard and more hard work than any other agricultural venture. I mean, just think about it. A vineyard is made up of all these growing and tangling vines, and if they're not cared for, it just gets out of control. Overgrown vineyards simply become a mess. I kind of relate it to ivy. Have you ever seen those houses that are like engulfed in overgrown ivy? You ever seen that before? Caroline and I were driving one time by a house several years ago, saw this big old house, and she said, "Oh, isn't that house beautiful?" I said, "Which one?" She said, "The one with the green stuff growing all over it," which was ivy, of course. And I said, how can you tell it's beautiful? You can't see it. The whole thing's covered up. She said, oh, but you can tell it's one of those big old beautiful houses. You know, I'm sure she's right. Under that ivy somewhere was probably some beautiful home. I couldn't tell you what color it was. I couldn't tell you whether it was brick or whether it was wood or what it was because you couldn't see it. But I'm sure she was correct. It was a beautiful home. And God's vineyard, the vineyard of Jesus' metaphor here, Jesus is the true vine. God the Father is the gardener. And third, the third key of being rooted is this: I am the branch. You are the branch. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. God is a gardener, and I am a branch off of this vine. The branches are the tricky part of the equation. It's the branches that the gardener has to deal with the most in a vineyard. They can grow out in all kinds of different directions. They can cling to various things that either promote or pervert their growth. The branches need to be under constant care of the gardener, under God's care. We're just like those branches, friends. We are. Sometimes we cling to things that promote our growth. Other times we cling to things that pervert our growth. As a branch, you and I are dependent upon the vine, upon Jesus for life. And that means we've got to stay attached to the vine, because that's where growth happens. That's where God wants to bear fruit in this world, through us being attached to the vine. Now, here's the thing about the branches of the vine. There are two kinds of branches: one that bears fruit and one that doesn't bear fruit. The gardener takes away, cuts away the branches that don't bear fruit so that they won't drain away from the plant's strength. The vine can't produce the crop that it's capable of doing without drastic cutting away. The gardener cuts off the dead branches, and when he does, the fruitful branches, then they have room to grow. Now, who are the fruitless branches that Jesus speaks of? Who are the fruitless branches? Well, there are three answers to that question. First, there are those who refuse to accept Jesus, just straight out. They live their life and they'll never accept Jesus. They choose not to accept Jesus. They just outright reject him as God's son and savior of their sin. Those are some of the fruitless branches. Second fruitless branches are those who call themselves Christian, but it's really a profession without a practice. They profess it, but they don't live it. I can call myself whatever I want to call myself, and it doesn't make it so, does it? I can call myself a professional boxer, but until I put on the trunks and the gloves and I get into the ring and go a few rounds, I'm not a boxer at all. My profession has to be backed up by my practice, by my practice. The third fruitless branches are those who believe they've accepted and embraced Jesus, and I can't judge whether, it's not my job to judge whether someone has or has not, but somewhere along the way, they've turned away from him. They've turned away from him. It's usually a slow turning, the slow fading away, or a little compromise here and a little compromise there, yet as they slowly turn, they've slowly turned, and at some point they realize they're heading down a whole different path, a fruitless path that leads to being a dead branch in the vine. Now, we can argue as to whether these folks really ever embrace Jesus for real or not. You know, the whole argument of whether you can lose your salvation or not. But we're not going to make that argument today. We can save that maybe for another time. Ultimately, for this point, this morning, it doesn't matter. These branches are people who have given the appearance of being a fully following Jesus. At some point, they go off the rails, they go off track, and they go another way. Friends, some people are going to struggle with the concept of God being a gardener like this, who would cut branches off of the vine. But listen to me. In all three of these cases, God is only honoring the will of the desire of the branch. He's only honoring the desire of the will of the branch. If someone flat out refuses Jesus, be it in word or be it in the practice of their life, then hear me, Jesus is too much of a gentleman to force himself on them to accept to follow him. They're just following through. He's following through with their own choice, We've been given the gift of free will, of free choice, and we have our whole life to choose him or not to choose him. But if we choose to reject him, he's going to honor our choice, and we'll be cut away from his presence. And that's the worst part of hell in my estimation, the total lack of God's presence. God's presence is no longer around you at all. But you see, if the dead branches don't get cut out, they squelch the life of the living. Here's the third key to being rooted. It's this: I will be pruned. I will be pruned. The gardener cuts out the dead, but he also prunes what's living, that which is bearing fruit, so that it can bear more fruit. Like the apple and the pear trees in my backyard, every fruit-bearing tree gets pruned. If it's going to bear fruit, it gets pruned. Let me tell you that you will be really glad that I'm not the gardener, that I'm not. Do you know why? Because when I prune, I'm a pruning maniac. I cut the heck out of the things. But you know, friends, when it comes down to it, it's not the pruning tools that are the problem. It's who's handling the tools, right? It's who's working them. Give my pruning tools to somebody that knows what they're doing, you have a whole different ballgame. God the Father, our gardener, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He prunes us to bring forth greater life, to bring forth more fruit. Some of us are in a pruning season right now. We're wondering, what is going on? God's pruning you to bring forth new life. Since we're not inanimate objects, since we're living, breathing, thinking human beings, it's vital that as branches we understand pruning. If I don't understand pruning, I'm going to be confused the rest of my life. Sometimes it's going to look like God's doing great things in my life and your life, and you're growing, and then all of a sudden, snip, and you think, God, why'd you do that? That was my best-looking shoot. I had green leaves all over it. We'll constantly be thinking, why is God doing this to me, until we understand pruning, until we understand it. So first, about pruning, it's unavoidably necessary for all healthy fruit to be pruned. Unavoidably necessary. Pruning makes way for more fruit to grow. Pruning happens when there's already fruit in your life, but as God prunes you, the fruit becomes even greater. Vineyards need drastic pruning. They cut off 90 to 95% of the vine in pruning. That's a lot, right? That's the picture of us sometimes, isn't it? Have you ever felt like God's just demanding too much of me? Just too much. The pruning is just too great. That's when we have to trust the gardener. He knows exactly what we need to be the most fruitful. He won't prune anything away just for the fun of it, just because he's bored. It may even seem senseless at times to us, but that's when we just need to trust the gardener. Second thing we need to understand about pruning is this: the Father only desire for your pruning is to make you more fruitful. You need to hear that one again. The Father's only desire for your pruning is to make you more fruitful. Get this, it's not punishment. It's not punishment. It's not punishment. We do have natural consequences for sin in our lives. I can't keep making bad choices in my life and not expect them to have greatly impact my life with consequences. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about pruning. Pruning for healthiness. The gardener prunes what's healthy, and it's healthy to be pruned, because that's what keeps us healthy. God prunes us so that we'll bear more fruit. Here's the third truth about pruning. Pruning hurts. I'm sorry, but pruning hurts. I wish I could tell you that you won't feel a thing, right? But that would be a lie. Don't you hate it when you have a nurse or somebody who's about to give you this big old shot or to put a PICC line in or something, and they say, now, you just sit still, you won't feel anything, right? And the next time you feel this stick and this burning in your arm, and you're like, well, I feel something, right? Don't you hate when that happens? Pruning hurts. And one of the reasons why is because pruning is a humbling. It's humbling. You're cruising through life. You're looking like you got it all together. Maybe you're almost like super Christian, right? You're super Christian. And snip, snip, God begins to prune you and wake you up to the reality, to humble your humble need to be pruned for greater fruitfulness. I mean, let's face it. Pruning involves cutting, and you can't get cut without it hurting. But the results of pruning, it'll be worth it. They really will be worth it. Here's the fifth final key that we'll look at on pruning before we get into the fruitfulness. Fifth is this: I must abide in Jesus. Jesus wanted to make sure that we got this one. The word abide appears 10 times in the first 10 verses of chapter 15 of John. 10 times. It appears 3 times alone in the 4th verse. Do you think Jesus is saying, I want you to get this one? I want you to get it. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Now, the word abide isn't a word that we use often today. The NIV translation uses the word remain, if you remain in me, but that doesn't get a great deal of use for us either. The word abide means to accept or act in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation. To accept or act in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation. So abiding in Jesus is accepting his rule, his decision, his recommendation for our lives. Jesus is saying, I want you to remain 100% attached to me. One time we lived in a home that had these big, great big old pin oak trees in our front lawn. There were 3 of them out there. And they're great trees, but they constantly drop branches. I mean, it's the nature of the tree. Now here's the thing. From time to time, we would look up in the tree and we could see that a branch was broken, but it was still just dangling up there. It was hanging. It hadn't fallen yet, but we knew it would eventually fall to the ground. They often weren't all the way dead when they were dangling, hanging there. But you know as well as I know that that branch, if it's broken, if it's snapped off from the weight of the wind or whatever caused it, it's eventually going to die and it's going to fall. Can that branch ever be reattached once it falls from that tree? No, it can't be reattached once it's broken. If a branch isn't 100% attached to the vine, it's going to die. Why? Because the vine is the life source. And if the branch is snapped from the life source, it no longer receives the nourishment that it needs to live. The very minute that the branch is broken off of the vine, it begins dying. If we don't remain in Jesus, 100% attached to Jesus, friends, we begin dying. And we know that the dead branches of the vine are cut off because they aren't good for anything anymore. John 15:6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. You see, in a vineyard, there's just no value in the old dead, withered branches of a grapevine. The wood's too soft for anything useful. It was intended for one purpose. It was intended to bear fruit. God's chosen you and me to live our lives in the vine of Jesus so that we can be cultivated and we can bear fruit. So Jesus is taking his last opportunity to talk to the disciples before he goes to the cross. Why would he have this conversation? Why would he talk about this? Why wouldn't he pat them on the back and give them these words of encouragement? You're going to make it through. You're going to be all right. Why would he do that? Because, friends, he knew that if they were going to stand again after he dies and they collapse, and if they were going to continue to stand and to thrive for God after the resurrection, and when Jesus departs them to go with the Father, then they had to understand the nature of God's vineyard. They had to understand how things were going to work and the vital importance of staying in the vine tied to Jesus and pruned for growth from God. If they didn't grasp this important truth, they would end up being dead branches. Jesus also knew where grasping this truth would lead them. Listen to it as he continues, verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And right there, friends, that's the beauty of it. Life in the vine leads to fullness. It leads to fullness. Abiding in the love of Jesus, abiding in the commandments of God, abiding in the love of the Father, that's the life of the believer who's in the vine. And it makes your life full, joyful. Jesus' promise of fullness comes from life in the vine and with pruning and cutting, but the results of that promise yield abounding fruit. And after Jesus teaches his disciples about the pruning procedure, he begins to talk to them about why he chose them. To go and to bear fruit is why he chose them. Verses 12 through 17, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Remember that this is Jesus' last formal teaching with them. Before he's taken from the garden to be crucified, and in it he's reminding them how important love is, how important it is. He's about to lay down his life for them, and he wants them to remember how important this kind of love is that they show for one another. That alone is an act of bearing fruit. But he continues in verse 15. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus is now calling them friends, not servants. And he's already said that one who's a friend lays down his life for a friend. And the next verse we finally come to our go verse for today from Jesus. So we go on to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Now listen, friends. God chooses you and me. We may think that we chose him. And we did to an extent, but before we ever chose him, he chose us first. He chose us first. He appointed us. What did he appoint us for? To go and to bear fruit. And it's a bearing of fruit that's wrapped in this command of how we love one another. Fruit bearing is a public thing that's for the benefit of the body of Christ, the church. We're going to take the rest of our time talking about this fruit bearing just a bit. The art of fruit bearing takes place in having the Holy Spirit in our lives. There are two main things that the Bible teaches to us about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First is it teaches about spiritual gifts. Every Christian is given by God through the Holy Spirit different spiritual gifts that they're supposed to utilize for the good of God and for his people, the church. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. No Christian has all of the spiritual gifts, hence the need for the body of Christ. God wants us all working together in ways that we live life together in the gifts he's given us. Spiritual gifts include things like serving, teaching, encouraging, creative arts, healing, and many, many, many more, right? You can find some of the list of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, and Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4, and 2 Timothy chapter 1. Those are all listed on your bulletin. Those are places you can find some of the spiritual gifts. Of course, when you discover your spiritual gifts and you use them for God and for others, you're going to be bearing fruit, right? You're going to be bearing fruit. We get the gifts of the Spirit in seed form, and as we grow in Christ, they grow. They grow in us and they blossom. I highly encourage you, if you want to know more about your spiritual gifts, come to the next Journey class when it comes along that we teach. It's one of the things we go through. We'll be doing it sometime, likely this fall. Second main teaching that we have from the Bible about the work of the Holy Spirit is the one we're kind of focusing on this morning, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is different than gifts in that, as a Christian, through the Holy Spirit living in us, each of us have all of the fruit of the Spirit already within us. And so we have the ability to bear fruit that's empowered by God. And not by simply by us trying harder. You're not bearing fruit because you're not trying hard enough. It comes through the Holy Spirit in us. Every Christian has all of the fruit of the Spirit ready at their disposal to bear. The fruit of the Spirit are identified in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But before we read them, let me just make a note. Many times you may hear others refer to the fruit of the Spirit as the fruits of the Spirit with like an S on there. It's easy to understand why, because it identifies nine characteristics. But it's a misrepresentation to say that it's fruits. Why? Well, firstly, because the Bible doesn't say fruits. It says the fruit of the Spirit. And secondly, it's not naming nine different fruits. It's naming nine manifestations of one fruit. The Holy Spirit is the fruit. And of that fruit that he deposits, these are the things that are exhibited. Let's read through Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23, and then we'll talk a bit about the fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when we talk about bearing fruit, my first question for you is, whose fruit does this verse, who's it attributed to? Whose fruit are we bearing? Does it say the fruit of the church? Does it say the fruit of the Christian? No, it says the fruit of the Spirit. All of these expressions of fruit that we're to bear, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you or me. Do you know what that means? That means that we can't bear proper fruit on our own. Now, we've already talked about how we can't bear fruit away from the vine. Well, do you remember what Jesus taught just a few weeks ago in one of the messages we talked about in his word, what it taught us? He said that he had to go so that he could send the advocate, the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit here for? To empower you and me. What is he empowering us for? Partly living the spiritual gifts and living this fruit of the Spirit, this fruit that he's placed in us. How do we access the Holy Spirit in order to receive and to bear this fruit? It goes back to what Jesus said earlier, by abiding in him. By abiding in him. Friends, if we're going to go through the pruning process in order that we can bear fruit, then we live filled with the Spirit when we finally surrender to him and allow him to empower us in all nine manifestations of his fruit. Am I saying that you can't be a good person unless you're surrendered to the Holy Spirit to lead you? No, I'm saying that you can't even stay alive for Christ if you're disconnected from him. So you'll never grow in this selfless expression of fruit of God without surrendering to him to grow you. Galatians 5:25 is just a couple verses below the fruit of the Spirit. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture, and one that I've claimed is kind of like the goal verse for my life, and you've heard me state it before many times. Listen to it as I read it. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You've heard me say that over and over again in the 11 years that I've been here as your pastor. It's been my goal for my personal life, and it's my goal for us as a church. I only want to be in step with the Spirit. I don't want to get ahead. I don't want to fall behind. I don't want to veer to the left. I don't want to veer to the right. I just want to stay in step with where God's Spirit leads me. And that's what I want for our church. So friends, when God says go, I want us, I want myself, I want us to go, right? And when God says wait, I want us to wait. And when God says turn left, turn right, turn around, I want us to turn. My desire for myself, for my wife, for my family, for our church, is that we only stay in step with the Spirit. We only step where the Spirit leads. Like our Japanese maple tree that's about to experience a real pruning, we're all going to go through pruning at times. And when it happens, when God's pruning you, listen, welcome it. Welcome it. It's happening for a reason. It's happening so that you can bear good, healthy fruit. What does that healthy fruit look like? It looks like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He's pruning you to bear that fruit. And here's the thing. If you're around another person who calls himself a Christian, but you never in their life see them producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's never any loving, never any joyful, never peace, never patient, never kind, never good, never faithful, never gentle, never having self-control. The likelihood is that they've never truly surrendered to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And another thing, don't judge others or yourself unrealistically. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit doesn't mean that you got it all together. We're all continuously going through pruning, continuously, and we're all growing in our expression of the fruit. You may find that you're stronger in peace than you are in patience, or in kindness than you are in self-control. Do you know do you know what you do when you find yourself weaker in some aspects of the fruit than others? You just keep abiding in Christ. To grow, to become more like him, and to keep praying to stay in step with the Spirit so that you'll grow in bearing fruit in those weaker areas of your life. Now, we're going to conclude today in a little different way. I have all the fruit of the Spirit listed on your message outline. If you would pick up your bulletins, if you don't have that now, and take a look at that list. Take a look at the list in front of you, and as you look at the list, you're going to see a little dash by each of those. I'm going to read through each of those, and as I'm reading through, I want you to consider in yourself, in your own heart, be honest before God, is this an area of the fruit where you're growing or where you're shrinking right now? And so as I read these, what I want you to do is I want you to make an arrow marking on the page. If you're growing in that area, you feel like you're growing in that area, make an arrow upward on the line. If you feel like you've kind of been shrinking in that area, draw a downward arrow. You understand? So I'm going to read them. An upward, if you're growing in that area. A downward, if you feel like you're shrinking. So here we go. Love. Do you feel like you're growing in love? Or do you feel like you're shrinking in love right now? Maybe you're being pruned. It's really hard. And loving is just hard for you to do right now. Joy. Do you feel like you're growing in joy? Or are you shrinking in joy right now? Make an arrow. Peace. Are you growing in your peace right now, or is that a challenge? Maybe your peace is shrinking right now because of circumstances in your pruning process, right? Kindness, or patience. Patience, are you growing, or are you shrinking? Kindness, are you growing, or are you shrinking? Goodness, are you growing in goodness? Goodness doesn't mean just doing good things. Goodness means becoming more and more like Jesus and his goodness. Are you becoming more like him, an upward arrow, or are you kind of shrinking in that right now? Faithfulness. Are you growing or are you shrinking? Gentleness. Growing or shrinking? Self-control. Arrow up. Are you growing or is that a tough one? You're shrinking in that area. Make sure that you put an arrow next to each of those. Now, friends, don't be discouraged if you feel like you have more down arrows than you have up arrows, or if maybe you feel like all your arrows are down right now on that outline. Instead, as we close, I want you to spend a couple moments in prayer, and I want you to ask God, invite him into to prune you in those needed areas to bear more fruit. And ask the Holy Spirit to teach you what it looks like to be in step with him in the fruit, these fruit areas of your life that maybe you're struggling in right now. So I'm going to close this in prayer. I want to invite you to take a moment. I'm going to just be quiet in a moment to take a moment to pray yourself, to ask God to prune you in the areas where you need pruned and to teach you to walk in step with his Spirit. Let's pray together first. God, I thank you that you prune us, that you care enough about us not to let us become unwieldy in this world, just to grow completely out of control. You're in the process. Your Holy Spirit's working in our life, and it's taking out the dead, and it's trimming even the healthy to make us more healthy, that we bear greater and greater fruit for you. And God, now as we each contemplate our own life and our own heart and our own spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, God, I just pray that for all of us in the room, those areas where we're just not, we don't feel like we're growing in that fruit right now, that Holy Spirit, you would begin to work in our lives. And as we just take a moment quiet, I pray that each person would surrender those areas to you. invites your pruning process in and asks you how to keep in step with your spirit. Take a moment in quiet for you to pray to yourself as God leads you. God, we ask you to lead us. You tell us to go bear fruit. We want to be fruit bearers. So do the pruning that needs to happen. Clear out the dead. Cut away the new that needs to be moved away so more fruit can bear. And help us to grow in our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. To be more and more and more like you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So I told Caroline yesterday, I said, you probably should take a good look at that Japanese maple tree before the leaves come off and they give it its hard pruning that they said they're going to do. I said, because I don't think it's going to look very good for the next couple years until we see it starting to blossom again. Maybe I'll be surprised, but it's not going to look like the giant tree that it looks like now. Sometimes it takes that hard pruning, though, and it takes a little bit of time before we can start to bear beautiful fruit again, till the beauty starts to show in our lives. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you're going through a hard pruning right now. And maybe it really hurts. And maybe it feels like it's been going on for a while. And you're ready to start seeing the new life and the new fruit that's going to bear. I'll tell you that it's coming. Welcome the pruning. Praise the gardener, the Father who's pruning you. And allow him to do the work so that the fruit will bear again and be more beautiful than it was before. Be blessed today. Pray God just shines on you in some beautiful ways in this day. We love him and we want to be in step with his spirit. God bless you. See you next week.